Okay, so how are we feeling this morning? Take our temperature from 1 to 10, 1 being really not very good, 10 being great, brilliant, excellent. Let's have a look.
Probably only a 7 today.
Well, 6. Why is it a 9?
Not bad.
Six.
That's alright. Doing alright. Obviously, those we can't see.
We've got Nate up here.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, comrade. Okay. So we're starting off fairly strongly this morning after a faltering beginning. I'm a bit scared about saying let's share a screen so we can read a psalm together, but shall we do it?
Go for it.
So we've got Psalm 8. The first... The first screen we're going to all read together. It's in bold. And then I'm going to read the second one. And then Rob will read the third and fourth. And Paul the fifth and sixth. And we'll all read the final one. So when you see bold, we're all reading together the final slide. And we'll read this first one. So shall we begin?
Yes.
Lord, our Lord.
Your name is the most wonderful in all the earth.
It brings you praise
everywhere
in heaven.
From the mouths of children and babies come songs of praise to you. They sing of your power to silence your enemies who were seeking revenge.
I look at the heavens you made with your hands. I see the moon and the stars you created, and I wonder, why are people so important to you? Why do you even think about them? Why do you care so much about humans? Why do you even notice them?
Open the window a bit.
Gods in glory and honour. You put everything under their control. People rule over the sheep and cattle and all the wild animals. They rule over the birds in the sky and the fish that swim in the sea.
Lord, our Lord.
Your name is the most wonderful name in all the earth.
Excellent. I love the reading together because it's just chaos. Psalm 8 we read together. Let's pray together. Amen. Thank you. I wonder if we were to fill in this blank, what we would put. You can do it on your piece of paper if you want. To be human is to blank. Fill in the gap. To be human is to... What would you put? I see a few people writing. If people have written something and you want to hold it up to your screen, then we can, maybe we can see, I don't know. To be human is to love, we have. To be human, that's the only one. To be human is to react. To be human is to, yes, that's in a song, isn't it, as well? Isn't it? Eurythmics. To be human is to, I can't see that, Robin. To be human is to, my eyes aren't very good, I need my glasses. Think. To be human is to,
I was saying as well, actually.
Okay, look after others, be alive. Okay, got a few responses there. Be kind. Okay, what about this one? To be God is to be, what would you write in that one? To be God is to be... What have people got for that? To be God is to be just. To be God is to be, can't see. Merciful, forgiving, everything, all-knowing, omnipotent. Oh, that's a very big word, Mom. Loving. But you were a teacher, so big words. I can't see that, Gavin. Hold on, I'm going to unmute you. What is it?
Awesome.
Awesome. Excellent. Okay. Robin, to be human. To be God is to be. It's off the page. Is to be. No other way. Is to be all powerful. Excellent. So we got some responses there. To be human was, well, there were some differences between being human and being God. Of course, because God is very different from human beings. But we've got a passage today in the Bible which talks about some of the similarities between God and human beings. And maybe we'll find that we're more similar than we think. I'm not being heretical here. There are obvious differences, but maybe we're more similar than we think. We've got our reading from Hebrews. Our next reading, Steve's going to read it. I'm going to unmute Steve. Reading from Hebrews 2. Oh, that's it. Hebrews 2, verses 5 to 9. Steve, you're unmuted if you'd like to read.
It is not to angels that he, God, has subjected the world to come about, which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone.
Thank you, Steve. Right, now I have a challenge for people while I am speaking, as always. The challenge this week is to make a cross. Okay, make a cross. You might want to use, well, you can use what you want. Lego, Play-Doh, paper, colouring pencils, wood. Could create a cross. A few bricks. Whatever you have to hand. Create a cross while we are thinking about our passage today. Okay. A few years ago, Simon and I were sitting in the lounge and we heard a sound. It was like a ringing, like an alarm on a watch. And whatever we did, we couldn't find where this sound was coming from. After a while, it stopped and we just carried on as normal. And then a few hours later, it started ringing again. We'd search around and we couldn't find it. And then it would go off. After a few days of this, it was getting a little bit annoying trying to find what this was. But then after a while, it stopped altogether and we thought, oh, well, that's fine. Batteries have run out or whatever it was. And then a few days later, it started ringing again and we couldn't find it. Wherever we looked, we couldn't find it. I can't remember now whether we actually found what it was, but the ringing sound has gone. Whatever we did, wherever we looked, we couldn't find where the sound was coming from, but it kept returning. Sometimes we had respite for a few days, but then it would come back. And here at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, we have this intermittent ringing, something that keeps coming back, a bit like we did in our lounge. Since verse 4 of chapter 1, the author has been fixated with angels. And subsequently, we have had this continual focus that keeps coming back on the inferiority of angels. We've heard how Jesus is superior to the angels, how he is the Son of God and the angels are not. How he is unending and unchanging while the angels are created beings who flit and fly around. How he is the one who will reign, whereas the angels are the ones who will worship. In fact, since the beginning of this book, the letter to the Hebrews, the angels have come in for a bit of a bashing, really. But then last week, we had a bit of respite as we looked at our relationship with Jesus, how we are called to stay close to him, to delve deeper and to guard our relationship. It was as if the ringing had finally stopped and we could put our attention elsewhere. But then today, we return once again back to the angels. As we begin with the words that Steve read, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. Or as the Message Bible puts it, maybe a little more clearly, God didn't put angels in charge of this business of salvation that we're dealing with here. And once again, we're back putting the angels in their place. Only this time, the poor angels are not just being put in their place by Jesus, the Son of God, who we have heard and can totally understand is greater than them. This time, it seems they're being put in their place by human beings as well. The author uses quotations from Psalm 8, the psalm that we all read at the beginning of this service. And it's a psalm which talks in rather confusing ways about humans and also about Jesus, the Son of Man. It talks about how tiny, weeny, weak, feeble humans, and also about how the Messiah, Jesus Christ, were made a little lower than the angels, and yet were crowned with glory and honour, and everything was put under their feet. The original language is confusing because it seems to mix Jesus with humans in the same breath. One line's using him and one line's using them, and it seems to mix it all up, mentioning the lowly state of both as well as the heights to which they will rise. Now, if we're talking about Jesus, we can totally understand this concept of being lower than the angels and yet being crowned with glory and honour. We can totally understand how Jesus, as it says in verse 9 of Hebrews, was made lower than the angels for a little while. He was born as a man and lived as a human being. How he experienced pain and suffering and hardship and temptation and weakness and weariness on earth. As well as how he experienced laughter and giggles and fun too. We can totally understand this concept of Jesus being made human and living a life on earth that was a little lower than the angels. And how now that he's raised from death through his resurrection, he's raised from this life on earth up to heaven to be at the right hand of God where he now reigns, crowned with glory and honour, way above and beyond where any angel would ever dream of being. We can totally understand how this is what happened to Jesus. This is the story of his life and his death and his resurrection that we know. And yet here in this passage in Hebrews, building on the words of Psalm 8, the author implies by mixing the language and referring to both humans and Jesus, that this position of authority over all things, this position of reigning as no angel does, will one day be ours too. As it says in verse 8, in putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. Or again, as the Message Bible says a little more clearly, when God put them in charge of everything, nothing was excluded. But we don't see it yet. We don't see everything under human jurisdiction. Because you see, the amazing thing about Jesus coming to earth, the amazing thing about Jesus being born as a human being, is that he was a real human. He wasn't a pretend human. You know, he wasn't God who decided to try out humanity for a little while to see what it was like. He was real. He became one of us, like us, so that one day we might become like him. There was a program on, I think it was last year, that was called The Homeless Millionaire. I don't know whether anyone saw it. I'm not going to wait for a response like I normally do because I can't hear you. But it was about a man called Stephen Green, who used to be in the army, I think, and then ran a housing development company or something. He's a very rich man, obviously a millionaire. And he decided that he wanted to see what it was like to become homeless, to live on the streets. He had an aim that within a week, I think it was, he would get himself out of homelessness and get himself into a home again. And so he gave up his money, not forever, but for a little while. He didn't allow himself to have access to any of his money, and he went and lived on the streets. And the program documented his experience, and it showed him making friends with people and losing a couple of his friends to overdoses and things like that. It showed how this experience changed him and what he learned from it. It was a good program, which at the end saw Stephen Green donating money and equipment to those that he'd met on the streets, trying to make their lives better. And you know, when Jesus came to earth, in a similar way, he came to live with us, to share our life. And by living with us, he showed us what humanity should be like and could be like. He empathized, he sacrificed, he walked and talked and lived and died. He did a bit like Stephen Green, but a lot more as well, because instead of then offering gifts to us as he went back to the life he had before, Jesus forever tied himself to us in a way that changed our present and our future. Because you see, when Jesus lived on earth, and especially when he died on the cross, it wasn't just something he was experiencing as God, it was his life. And so he didn't let go of his humanity when things became tough. He didn't answer the cries of the chief priests and the teachers of the law and get down from the cross and show that he was the Messiah there and then. Instead, he clung on. He clung on to his humanity. He held on tightly to Jesus the man and subsequently to us. And in so doing, he paid the penalty of our wayward life. He came through death. But he also brought us through death too, so that when he rose again, he rose clutching humanity as the firstborn from among the dead. bearing the scars of his sacrifice and forever tied to us, not escaping the experience that he'd just been through, putting it behind him, but instead bringing humanity with him to the heights of his throne, so that one day we could follow, one day we could reign, one day we can join this new humanity where everything will be under our feet too, even the angels, as we worship God and we rule wisely. Do you know, a few years ago, our nephew Max came to stay with us. It was quite a few years ago. He was only a little boy and he's now 18, so it was quite a few years ago. And he came to stay the night with his sister Amy. And Max had this, well, he called it a blankie, and it had once started out as a blanket, but over the years it had become a little scrap of dirty material which he'd sucked and wiped his face on and done all sorts of things. And he had to have this blankie, this little scrap of horrible stuff to sleep with. He couldn't sleep without his blankie. And so he came to sleep with us for a night, and partway through the night he woke us up crying because he'd lost his blankie. And we searched high and low. It was only a tiny little bit of material, high and low, for this dirty, smelly, scraggy little thing. But we couldn't find it. So Simon and I, not having children at the time, thought, oh, well, it's okay. We'll just replace it with, you know, a nice clean blanket that's big and good and new, and he can cuddle it. And so we gave him this nice clean blanket, and did he want it? No, don't want that. That's not my blankie. He needed his little blankie to be satisfied. And in the same way, but only much more complex, of course, when Jesus died on the cross, he clung on to humanity. He didn't let pride or selfish ambition or pain take away that goal. He didn't step down and prove to everyone around that he was God there and then. He didn't exchange the dirty blankie of humanity for a brand new clean blanket free of pain and suffering. Instead, he clung on to us, taking our punishment so that one day we could be with him, worshipping and reigning and living life as humans were truly intended to live. Of course, now, at this moment, we don't see this. We don't see how Jesus is reigning over our broken world. Things are very much as they have always been. Well, in the last few weeks, very different, but this is our broken world. But even though we don't see this, we're called to live in the light of this truth. We're called to know that God loves us and God is with us. That even now, Jesus still does not let go. He still does not give up on us. But he continues to hold humanity tightly, even as he reigns supreme. For he's forever bound to us, even from the heights of his throne, representing us as he carries our fears and our needs and our hopes to God, and ruling in a way that is right and just. And living in the light of this means that not only do we believe this, not only do we trust this, and not only do we celebrate it, but also, as has always been the role of the people of God, we seek to make this known, that Jesus has made a way for each and every one of us to live fully and freely and completely. And that now, even in the darkest, toughest times, even in those dark times in which we live today, God loves us. God is for us. And from now until the end of time, he continues to hold us and keep us and walk with us and all of humanity. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for the wonders that you did on the cross. There is so much that you did when you died and rose again that it is so difficult to explain and comprehend. And there is so much more that you did that probably we will never understand until we see you. But we thank you that one of the things you did was hold tightly to us, that you didn't let go because of the things that we had done or the way that we behaved or the dirt and the filth we carried with us. But you held us tightly and you continue to do so. Thank you that you do not leave us where we belong, but you bring us to the heights of your throne, and that one day we will be with you. And one day we will rule with you. And one day we will truly know what it is to worship you in all freedom. And Lord, we thank you for that. But we ask that right now, in these difficult times in which we live, we will be able to live in the light of this truth. We will be able to know that you reign and you rule, and that through you we have life. And also, please help us to be able to make this known to other people. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've unmuted you just before you say anything that you wouldn't want everyone to know. So did anyone make a cross?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You see, I would say this like someone's going to just hold up a scrabby little thing and people are like, hold up these amazing crosses.
Wow.
Brilliant. Excellent.
Oh. Oh, what's that?
Oh, great. One out of real wood, some Lego ones, some sticks. Oh, fingers. Nice. Yeah,
and
like
that. Yours 3D? Yeah, it's like boxes.
Oh.
3D cross. There's always a 3... Oh, excellent. Well, if you've got a cross, if you haven't got
John.
A cross...
Have you seen John?
Where's
Mays? John Mays. Really put a lot of effort
into
that.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Fingers. If you haven't got a cross, you might want to draw a cross because we're going to bring things before the cross right now as we're going to share communion. We're going to have a time of what we call confession, where we offer those things that constitute the dirty rag of humanity to God, the things that we have done, thought, said, the things that Jesus has rescued us from. So if you want to draw a cross so you can bring those things to the cross, then you can. If you've got your cross, you might want to put it in front of you so you can offer these things to God.
A couple of bits, your bit to make a cross.
Right, I'm going to mute everyone. No offence. I've muted you. So I'm going to read from the book of Philippians as we approach communion. Philippians 2 says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to be imitators, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, to become more like him. But often we don't do this. Often we think of ourselves more than anyone else. Often we think of what is right for us and what protects us and what helps us, as we're called to think of the other before we think of ourselves. We're called to draw together as a community to support and encourage one another. So let's just pause. You might want to write something down that you feel has put you first, or something you feel has not encouraged the community, and bring it before the cross, or just pause for a minute and offer God those things which, as the Bible says here, have been selfish and vain and have thought of us rather than other people. Let's just take a moment to bring those things to God. The passage in Philippians goes on to say, in your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so today we share again the bread. Break bread, remembering how Jesus' body was broken for us, how Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. And we also take the cup, whatever we may have to drink. It doesn't matter. Jesus took the most ordinary of things in his day, wine, and said, this is my blood shed for you, so that you may live with me. We're going to eat and drink together in a moment. And while we do that, we're going to, hopefully, this will work with all the Zoom issues, going to play, you may have seen this, some of the, it's called the UK Blessing, and it's the churches in the UK, and also others around the world have done it, have pronounced a blessing, sung a blessing upon our country. And this is the blessing that God gives to us, but also it's the blessing that we are called to give to other people. So as we eat and drink, we'll listen to this together. And so as we conclude our official part of our meeting this morning, oh, we made it. I'm so excited. I thought it was all going to go horribly wrong this morning. And, you know, we stumbled through. We stumbled from one thing to the next, which worked out okay. I'll unmute you all. It was good to join together and overcome the technical difficulties. And as we go into our breakout groups to chat, may God bless us and keep us. May God walk with us. May he surround us with his love and strength. And may we know him as we walk through each day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.